When Sarah J. Maas released Tower of Dawn in 2017, many readers initially dismissed it as a side story in the Throne of Glass series. Yet this parallel narrative quickly became a fan favorite, with readers discovering its profound exploration of disability, healing, and redemption. The novel follows Chal Wetzfahl, once captain of the Royal Guard, now wheelchair-bound and struggling with both physical limitations and crushing guilt. His journey to the southern continent of Antica becomes not just a diplomatic mission, but a path to personal salvation. What makes this book resonate so deeply with readers is its unflinching look at trauma and recovery, both physical and emotional, wrapped in Maas's signature blend of political intrigue, ancient magic, and unexpected romance. As BookTok influencer at Fantasy Book Nerd noted, Tower of Dawn isn't just about healing a broken spine, it's about healing a broken soul. Chiol Westfall hates the sound of wheels, specifically those on the chair that has become both prison and pathway since losing the use of his legs in the glass castle's destruction. The rhythmic squeak of metal against stone serves as a constant reminder of all he has lost. As the newly appointed hand to King Dorian of Ardalan, he arrives in the magnificent southern empire of Antica with Captain Nezrin Falik, ostensibly on a diplomatic mission to secure military aid against the northern threat. In reality, he desperately seeks healing from the legendary Torre Chesme and its gifted healers, though he guards this hope closely, afraid to let it take root too deeply. The southern continent presents a stark contrast to Chaol's homeland, a vibrant tapestry of cultures where magic flows freely, untouched by the bans that plagued the north. Antica's streets burst with color and life, from the sprawling markets filled with exotic spices to the golden domes of temples reaching toward azure skies. The Khagan's court pulses with intrigue as his five royal children maneuver for position, knowing only one will inherit the throne upon their father's death. Argon, the eldest, watches Chaol with calculating eyes, while the warrior princess Hasar makes no secret of her disdain. Each royal sees Chaol as either opportunity or obstacle in their political games, and his disability makes him appear an even easier pawn to manipulate. Pride has always been Chael's shield, forged in the training yards of Aniel and hardened through years of service as captain of the guard. Now it becomes his greatest burden, a weight as heavy as the chair beneath him. He struggles to navigate a world not designed for his wheelchair. Every step, every threshold, every slight incline becomes a battle. Simple tasks like dressing or bathing require assistance, each instance of help feeling like another crack in his carefully constructed walls. "I am Lord of Nothing," he thinks bitterly during sleepless nights. "Lord of Oathbreakers. Lord of Liars." The former captain carries not just physical wounds, but the crushing weight of perceived failures. Abandoning his king in his hour of need, failing to prevent the glass castle's atrocities, surviving when better men and women perished. When introduced to Yureen Towers, the Torre's most gifted healer, Chaol faces another obstacle, her deep-seated hatred for anyone from Ardalan, the empire that burned her mother alive and destroyed her homeland of Fenharrow. Their first meeting in the Torre's white stone halls crackles with tension, as Yureen's clinical assessment barely masks her contempt. Her golden brown eyes, usually warm with compassion for her patients, turn cold when they fall upon his Ardalan uniform. Yet beneath her hostility lies extraordinary power, perhaps the only magic capable of healing his shattered spine. If only she can move past her justified hatred to see the man beneath the uniform, a man as broken by Ardalan's cruelty as she is, though in different ways. Yureen Towers carries her own scars, ones that run deeper than flesh. As a child, she watched Adalarn soldiers burn her healer mother alive for breaking her oath to save lives when she killed a soldier to give Yureen time to escape. For years, Yureen survived on her own, hiding her healing gift while nursing a burning hatred for all things Adalarn. Now the Torre's most promising student, she faces an impossible test, heal the very embodiment of what she despises. The world needs more healers, reads the note she carries from a mysterious, scarred woman who once saved her life. These words become both burden and beacon, as Yirin reluctantly agrees to treat Chal, though she makes no promises about success. What begins as reluctant professional obligation evolves into something far more complex, as their healing sessions force both to confront painful truths. The physical healing becomes a metaphor for emotional recovery, as Yirin discovers the true nature of Chal's injury, not just broken bone and severed nerve, but a festering darkness left by Valg magic. This darkness feeds on Chal's guilt and self-loathing, using his emotional wounds to maintain its hold. To heal his body, Yirin must help him heal his spirit. Their sessions become battlegrounds where Yirin's light magic confronts the parasitic darkness. She pushes Chal to face his deepest regrets, his complicated history with Queen Aelin, his perceived abandonment of King Dorian, the abuse from his father that drove him to become the man he is. With each painful memory confronted, each burden acknowledged, the darkness recedes slightly, allowing incremental physical improvement. "There is no one in Aralea who loathes me more than I do myself," Chal confesses during one particularly raw session. This moment of vulnerability marks a turning point in their relationship, as Yirin begins to see beyond the uniform to the flawed, struggling man beneath. Her own hatred begins to feel like another form of parasite, consuming her from within just as surely as the darkness consumes Chal's spine. While Chao El and Yirin navigate their complicated healing relationship, Nezrin embarks on her own journey into the Tavan Mountains with Prince Sartak, the Khagan's third child and commander of the legendary Ruck Riders. What begins as a diplomatic mission to secure potential allies transforms into something far more dangerous when they discover ancient enemies stirring in the mountains. The Rukan warriors who ride massive birds of prey called Rooks live in magnificent eyries carved into mountain peaks. Their culture values skill and courage above birth status, allowing Nezrin to find acceptance she never experienced in a Darlin's Guard. Among these fierce warriors, particularly Sartak's hearth sister Borte, Nezrin discovers a sense of belonging that feels strangely like coming home. Their investigation reveals a disturbing pattern, Ruck eggs and hatchlings disappearing without trace. The culprits are Harankui, massive intelligent spiders that have awakened from centuries of dormancy in the Dagul Fells. With the help of Falcon Enar, a shapeshifter who can transform into various animals, they venture into spider territory to discover why these ancient creatures have suddenly become active. The answer shakes the foundations of everything they believed about their world. In a heart-stopping confrontation with the Karankui Queen, they learn that Queen Maeve of the Fae, long believed to be an ally against the Valg, is actually a Valg queen herself who fled her husband, King Orcus. She entered their world through a word gate in these very mountains, using mind control to infiltrate Fae society by making Queens Mab and Mora believe she was their sister. When the Valg kings pursued her across worlds, she used her intimate knowledge against them, stealing their word keys before Brannan eventually took them from her. This revelation transforms their understanding of the coming war. If Maeve is truly Valg, then her movements against Aelin Galathinius take on new significance. The war is not just against Erewhon, but potentially against two Valg monarchs playing a centuries-long game with the continent as their board. During their harrowing escape from the spider's nest, Nezrin and Sartak form a bond forged in shared danger and mutual respect. Their relationship deepens from diplomatic courtesy to genuine affection, culminating in Sartak's confession, "I loved you before I ever set eyes on you." As they return to the Aries with this critical intelligence, they know the war has become infinitely more complex. Back in Antica, Chaul makes remarkable progress under Yirin's care. From being unable to feel his legs, he gradually regained sensation in his feet and ankles. The breakthrough comes when Yurine provokes him into standing through sheer anger, proving his body is healing even as his mind resists acknowledging it. This moment of triumph leads to their first kiss, a passionate acknowledgement of the feelings growing between them despite their complicated histories. Their healing work is interrupted by disturbing events. A healer murdered in the Tori library, ancient texts about the Volgs stolen, and a sense of being watched by unseen eyes. When Yurine is attacked while walking to Chal's chambers, they realize their research has attracted dangerous attention. Someone, or something, wants to prevent Chal's healing and silence their discoveries about the connection between healers and the Volg. During Princess Hasar's birthday celebration at the Oxara Oasis, Chal and Yurine make a stunning discovery among ancient ruins. The carvings reveal that the Torre Sesme was built atop Fey ruins dating back to the First Demon War. The ancient Fey apparently bred healing magic into human bloodlines as a weapon against the Volg, creating a potential defense that's been hiding in plain sight for centuries. This revelation explains why the Volg targeted healers and why someone is so desperate to stop their research. Healers aren't just capable of mending bodies, they possess magic that can potentially drive out Volg possession, making them Erewhon's most feared enemies. Their personal relationship deepens alongside these discoveries. On Yurine's birthday, Chal gives her a silver locket engraved with mountains and seas, a reminder that she crossed them herself to reach Antica. This gesture of respect for her journey breaks down the last barriers between them, leading to an intimate night that solidifies their growing love. In a moment of profound connection, Yurine reveals she carries a gold coin given to her years ago by a scarred woman in Inishin, none other than Aelin Galathinius, who funded Yurine's journey to the Torre with her last gold piece. This connection between Chal's former love and his current one feels like the hand of fate, binding their destinies together in the coming war. As Chal's physical healing progresses under Yurine's careful ministrations in the Torre Sesme, his emotional healing reaches a critical juncture. The darkness that had woven itself through his spine like black silk has largely retreated, yet remains concentrated in a stubborn knot that persistently resists Yurine's healing light. This manifestation of shadow represents more than physical trauma. It embodies his deepest shame and self-loathing over his perceived abandonment of King Dorian when the glass castle fell to Valg forces. In a particularly grueling healing session that pushes both healer and patient to their limits, Yurine forces Chal to confront this darkness directly. The void within him responds with devastating force, showing him terrible visions that assault his consciousness. A woman burning alive in flames of her own making, a broken body sprawled across palace steps, a head rolling across pristine marble floors. It taunts him mercilessly with an endless parade of his failures and regrets, forcing him to witness his family's disappointment, his king's fall, and everything he'd left behind in Ardalan. The psychological pain intensifies until each breath becomes a battle, his chest constricting with remembered guilt. But in this bottomless pit of darkness, surrounded by his worst memories and deepest fears, Chal finally grasps an essential truth. This breaking isn't the end of his story. With Yurine's steady presence guiding him through the shadows, he begins to accept the darkness not as an enemy to be vanquished, but as a part of himself that he must acknowledge and then fill with better things – hope, love, purpose. When Yurine tells him she loves him, her voice reaching through the void, he takes her hand and makes a conscious choice to begin again, to be made anew rather than remain forever broken. "I didn't want you to parade me around, to let them handle me," he had once told Yurine bitterly about his disability, his pride making him resist help. Now he understands with profound clarity that accepting assistance isn't a mark of weakness, it's another form of strength, perhaps the most difficult kind to master. His wheelchair, once viewed as a symbol of his failures, transforms in his mind to become simply another way of moving through the world, neither a prison nor a punishment, but a tool for living. When Chal finally emerges from this harrowing confrontation with his inner demons, the darkness has retreated completely from his spine. he discovers he can move his legs without the searing pain that had become his constant companion. Yurine has succeeded in her healing, though a small mark remains on his spine as a permanent reminder of his journey. The lightness he feels isn't confined to his body, but suffuses his entire being, as if chains he hadn't known he was carrying have finally fallen away. "We don't look back," he tells Yurine, his voice steady with newfound conviction. "We can only go on." This transformation marks his true healing, far more significant than any physical recovery could be. It represents not just the mending of his body, but the reforging of his spirit into something stronger, more resilient, and ultimately more whole than before.
Their triumph is short-lived. While investigating the disappearance of Hafiza, the healer on high, Chal and Yurine discover hidden tunnels beneath the Torii that connect to the palace. Following these ancient passages leads them to a shocking revelation. Princess Duva, the Khagan's pregnant daughter, is possessed by a Valg demon. The confrontation in the underground necropolis reveals that Duva was responsible for destroying the ancient texts and murdering her sister, Princess Tumalin. The Valg demon explains that these tunnels were built by renegade Fae who fled from Queen Maeve, further confirming the truth about Maeve's identity. Most disturbingly, the demon reveals that Yurine is Silba's heir, a healer with rare gifts that terrify Erewhon, which is why he sent Duva as a spy. In the ensuing battle, Chal is gravely injured protecting Yurine. As his life slips away, Yurine faces her greatest test, healing wounds too severe for normal magic. In this moment between life and death, a mysterious voice speaks through Hafiza, declaring there must be a cost for such healing. Yurine immediately offers to pay whatever price necessary. The price is significant. Their lives become bound together, sharing one thread, meaning when one dies, both will die. Additionally, while Yurine's magic acts as a brace, allowing Chal to walk when her power is at its fullest, permanent damage remains in his spine. When her magic flags from exhaustion, his ability to walk will be impaired, requiring a cane or wheelchair. Chal embraces this new reality without hesitation, telling Yurine that using the chair is not a punishment, it is not a prison, it never was. He assures her that she did heal him in every way that truly matters. This acceptance marks his complete transformation, from a man defined by physical prowess to one who understands that true strength comes in many forms.
The final confrontation with Princess Duva brings the Khagan face to face with the threat Chol has been describing. When Yurine successfully drives the Valg demon from Duva's body, saving both the princess and her unborn child, the Khagan's gratitude is boundless. He offers Yurine anything she desires, to which she responds by asking for a favor. That favor becomes the turning point in the war. 2 weeks later, 1,000 ships filled with the Khagan soldiers sail for Manteca, with 1,000 Rukin led by Sartok and Nezrin flying above, only half of the full force still gathering under Prince Kashin's command. This massive armada represents hope for the northern continent, a fighting chance against Erewhon's seemingly unstoppable forces. Personal relationships solidify alongside these political alliances. Nezrin and Prince Sartok acknowledge their feelings for each other, with Sartok promising that after they defeat Erewhon, they will return to Manteca together. When his father objects to Nezrin being commonborn, Sartok declares he doesn't want to be heir if that's the requirement, only to have his father immediately appoint him heir before he can leave the room. Most significantly, Chol and Yurine have married, their bond forged through healing and hardship. As they sail toward war, Chol reflects on his journey, from being thrown into the cold by his father, to meeting Aelin in Endovir, to finding Yurine. Every step had led him precisely where he needed and wanted to be. Standing on the ship's deck beside his wife, Chol feels no regret and doesn't look back, knowing he's exactly where he was meant to be. That shriveled scrap of darkness within him vanishes completely, swept away by the sea wind. He has found his light, his healing, his purpose, not despite his injury, but because of the journey it forced him to take.
Tower of Dawn transcends typical fantasy narratives by presenting disability not as something to be magically erased, but as a complex reality to be navigated with dignity. Even when Chaal regains some mobility, he still requires assistance at times, a realistic portrayal rarely seen in fantasy literature. His journey teaches him that true healing isn't about returning to who he was before, but about accepting who he has become and finding strength in vulnerability. Yurine's evolution parallels Chaal's as she learns that holding on to hatred damages the vessel that carries it. Her healing gift becomes a metaphor for forgiveness, not forgetting past wrongs, but refusing to let them dictate future actions. When she finally confronts the Vogue demon possessing Princess Duva, she does so not with rage, but with pure healing light, demonstrating that compassion can be more powerful than vengeance. The novel also explores how trauma affects relationships. Nezrin and Chaal's partnership dissolves not through betrayal, but through mutual recognition that they were clinging to each other out of duty rather than love. Their ability to find more suitable partners, Sartok for Nezrin, Yurine for Chaal, without bitterness demonstrates emotional maturity rarely depicted in romantic storylines. Perhaps most powerfully, Tower of Dawn suggests that our greatest wounds often become our greatest gifts. Chaal's injury forces him to develop diplomatic skills and emotional intelligence he might never have cultivated otherwise. Yurine's childhood trauma drives her healing vocation. Even Nezrin's outsider status in Ardalan makes her uniquely qualified to bridge cultures between continents. As the characters sail toward an uncertain war, they carry with them not just military might, but newfound strength forged through suffering and healing. Their journey reminds us that sometimes we must be broken open to let the light in, and that light, once found, can illuminate paths we never imagined possible. As the Armada sails toward the northern continent, a disturbing epilogue reveals Queen Aelin Galathinius imprisoned in an iron coffin, drugged and chained, at the mercy of Queen Maeve. The young queen's capture represents not just a personal defeat, but a potentially devastating blow to the alliance she helped forge. Through the iron bars of her prison, Aelin's once fierce flame has been reduced to embers, her legendary power subdued by ancient chains marked with word marks, a cruel echo of the collar that once bound her in Endovir. This ominous ending casts long shadows over the hard-won victories of the past. With Maeve revealed as a Vogue queen, one of the ancient demons who once terrorized the world, the true scope of the enemy becomes clear. Her centuries of manipulation and cruel games were merely preparation for this moment. Meanwhile, Erewhon gathers his forces in the north, his armies of Vogue-possessed soldiers growing stronger by the day. The corrupted kings and princes under his command now control vast territories, their darkness spreading like ink through water. Yet hope persists in unexpected corners of the realm. The healing magic discovered in the Torre Sesme offers more than just physical restoration. It presents a weapon against Vogue possession itself. The Rookin warriors, with their giant rook birds and aerial combat expertise, provide a crucial counter to Erewhon's fearsome wyvern armies. The Khagan's forces, sailing from the southern continent, bring not only military might, but also centuries of tactical knowledge and magical traditions unknown to their enemies. Most significantly, strength emerges from those who have faced their deepest fears and emerge transformed. Nezrin found her heritage and true calling among the Rookin. Yurine discovered the full extent of her healing gifts and her own courage. And Chaal, who began his journey broken in both body and spirit, has found a new kind of strength, one that transcends physical capability. As Chaal stands on the deck of the ship, watching Antika's golden towers fade into the distance, he reflects that every step of his journey, from the glass castle's destruction to his fall, from his despair to his healing, has led him precisely where he needed to be. The scars he bears, both physical and emotional, have become marks of survival rather than symbols of defeat. The true power of Tower of Dawn resonates in its core message. Healing transcends the mere mending of broken bodies. it encompasses the restoration of shattered trust, the rebuilding of lost confidence, and the rediscovery of purpose. The most profound journeys often take place within, across the treacherous territories of doubt, through valleys of despair, and finally into the light of self-acceptance and renewed purpose. In this way, the Tower becomes more than a place of healing. It stands as a symbol of transformation, hope, and the unbreakable spirit that will be needed in the battles to come.